Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Garrett Cole's took a shot to the chin. He's being evaluated for head injury. It was Marsh you said next. He had a minor wrist injury. He's okay. Hireman has a sore knee, and we're just being smart there. Nothing, no concern, just being smart for the long haul.
Hi, there you go. Meanwhile, to update things, that was from this morning on the walkthrough, according to Mike Kliss. Trane Brock not out at the walkthrough, so we'll have to look as what's going on there. But Garrett Bowles was there, not participating in the walkthrough, but out there, which surprised both me and Al. We'll tell you why in a second. And Brandon Marshall was participating in the walkthrough, so that seems to be good news. Jeff Hireman, they're being cautious with, and Philly Brown smacked his head on a weight bar or some sort of weight apparatus and gave himself a concussion. Okay. Al, the Garrett Bowles situation. Today, there was some action. They were in shells, but when you're on the O-line or D-line, it doesn't matter. If you've got full pads.
If you got shoulder pads on, that's live.
Right, that's live. You know, and
tomorrow when they put the bottoms on, it doesn't really
matter. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't. You ain't taking guys to the ground anyway. So.
They're going so at the point of contact, they're going 100%.
Yeah, I mean, you got on a helmet. You got on a helmet. You're going fast.
So when the O-line and D-line guys make contact with each other on a day like today, they, not everybody on the team, but they are going 100%, correct?
Everybody's going 100% if you got on shoulder pads.
Right. Well, cornerbacks and safeties aren't hitting. Running backs aren't whatever.
But I'm just
talking about the moment the ball is hiked and the offensive lineman and defensive lineman smash into each other.
Hold on. The defensive backs, the safeties in particular, and the other cornerbacks and linebackers should never hit crossing receivers or guys that's going across the middle on a deep over or a post route if a backside corner is trying to attack the ball. That's called being a pro's pro. You're not trying to hurt your teammate. You just want to be there in the play. So you know, I get it that, you know, you say that those guys are going 100% too, because that's just the way it is. And one of the things that going 100% has done over the last weekend, it has created problems with guys trying to figure out what is allowable and what isn't.
Oh, well, that's a whole other issue for sure. But that'll be interesting.
But just think about it. You got a big guy like Demaryius Thomas. He's trying to get in on the goal line. He catches the ball right there at the one. Mm-hmm. Does he get to dip his head and take a guy in?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole separate thing. You know, the officials will be here, and they'll be going through stuff like that. And we'll probably have the best idea when the Chicago Bears come in for a joint practice what that really means, but that'll be a mystery the entire season. That being said, just to let you know, Garrett Bowles was hurt on a play where, you know, there was full action, and he goes down. They bring out the cart. He is taken off the field.
Carted off.
Very slow. Sitting in the front seat with his head slumped over. A trainer walking speed. There's a trainer walking next to him as he's in the cart, and you know, with some assistance off into the building. Really slow. It wasn't called a concussion by VJ. You heard it. He said head injury, and then he's out there later today. Now we all just assumed it was a concussion. I'm not sure what else could be. I literally have no idea what you could have that's a head injury based on the type of contact he had and was hit on the chin. I'm not sure what else it would be that would cause you to be carted off like that. I mean, if you had a head injury and you just cut your chin, you'd be bleeding or something. You'd probably walk off. You'd probably get mopped up or something. You had to have seen how he was taken off the field. And to hear that he's actually out at practice again, just even watching, surprises me. Does it surprise you?
Surprise? I'm shocked. I mean, shocked. I'm really, at the bare minimum, him staying in the locker room or in the training room, and if nothing else, just getting some rest and make sure that he was okay would be what I would imagine. I mean, I don't know what a head injury is. Just leave it at that.
Yeah,
I don't even know what it is.
Right.
Because the way that they handled him coming off the field, it looked like he was done.
I mean, Sweet Philly Brown was smashing himself in the head on a bar, and he's in the concussion protocol. And Garrett Bowles gets carted off, and he's out there watching practice.
Stand up and put them down.
Put them down on your head. Be careful. Quirky situation. So tune in tomorrow to see what's next in the Garrett Bowles saga.
Well, if Valdir goes the left tackle, look out.
Look out for what?
I'm telling you.
By the way, Cyrus,
if Valdir goes the left tackle, his normal position, Billy Turner can move or swing over to right tackle. Maybe there's a little stress. Maybe there's a little stress that, you know, maybe Garrett Bowles feels that if I'm not at my exact best and here and present all the time, I could lose my position, and that could be the truth.
Cyrus Kwanjo did take over.
I would like to see Garrett Bowles at right guard.
Well, that position's a bit of a mystery, as you have Max Garcia and Connor McGovern. And
Max Garcia is looking okay. There's always been something that's been missing from Max Garcia's game, lapses of concentration. That's what I would call it. Not that he can't play, but it's like he loses concentration four or five times in the game, and then ends up being, you know, when an offensive lineman loses concentration, you know, you end up getting people hit.
I have concerns about Valdir, but you're saying those are unfounded. He'll be fine.
He's a Pro Bowl guy. Leave him alone.
He was a Pro Bowl guy.
Leave him alone. I'm telling you, he's a good guy to have on this roster, and if it takes him a couple of weeks to get it going again, that's fine.
Okay. You know, you're not afraid this is Michael Schofield part two.
No.
Menelik Watson 3.0.
No, I'm not worried about that either. Menelik Watson, man, he's struggling at guard, too.
Yeah, I've heard some reports, too.
Struggling at guard.
That seems to be a gargantuan swing.
You know what, man? And I got to give him props and credit because there was an offensive line summit, like Vaughn has done it for pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
There was an offensive line summit, and I think three different Denver Broncos showed up to that, and I know Menelik Watson was one of them.
He's trying, I guess.
Trying to get all the work that he can to make sure that he can compete here. But unfortunately, man, you know, the guy has got some mobility issues. You know, we call guys who, you know, shoot their hands at you, you know, aggressively, we call them hand shooters, right? So basically, right, they shoot their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine if you were just an offensive lineman, a guy sticking his hands out real fast at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guys that do that and they miss, they get beat badly. Because if a defensive lineman hit the inside arm or the outside arm and that guy is pressing out to come get you, he's going to fall straight on his face. The guys that are successful have their head back, and they just kind of accept you. However you come to them, that's how they accept you. And that's what he's got to be more comfortable with, is just accepting the pressure of a guy coming at him instead of being a guy who's trying to control a guy at the point of attack, if that makes any sense at all.
Sure. Okay. I learned something about Case Keenum over the weekend. There was a moment where somebody asked, Hey, saw that you got together with some of the fellas to throw over the summer. How was that? And he goes, really? You heard that? How? And it was a bit of an awkward moment because the only person that didn't know that was posted on social media apparently was Case Keenum. Like, he literally did not seem to know that other teammates had posted Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, about throwing sessions with Case Keenum. Then I asked him about talking with Peyton Manning, and he was, yeah, I talked to him. And I said, well, have you been talking to him, you know, just throughout the course of the summer? And he goes, yeah. And it hit me. Oh, okay, I get it with this guy. He kind of comes from the, you know, I don't want to reveal anything to everybody's school. That sort of thing. You know, like, I got secrets. I don't really want to share everything with you. And if I don't really want to share those things, I'm just going to shut up about it. A lot of guys just blabber on, Al. They don't have a philosophy on in one way or the other, and they're not savvy enough to know how to actually control that. It's a bit paranoid. You know, it's kind of like that Peyton Manning sort of school about information. You know, Peyton didn't want to tell you anything about, you know, he'd tell you everything about the history of the game, but didn't want to reveal a lot of his state secrets about himself, that sort of thing. Case Keenum's kind of the same type of guy. I thought that was kind of interesting. Like, and maybe a little disconnected unless he was playing a game, unless he was just really acting, that he didn't know that, you know, his receivers and other people had put out that they had been working out with Case Keenum. I mean, it wasn't kind of a secret. I mean, everybody knew it. And then Vance said, Case has been working out with DT all summer. Now, that was interesting. Because DT's a quiet guy, too. Like, DT doesn't really necessarily post things or share a whole lot of things. So there may have been moments where Case and DT and maybe Sander or whoever were actually doing quite a bit of work together during the summer that we just don't even know about. It looks like that out in the field. My impressions initially of Case Keenum are very, I'm very impressed off the bat. I'm curious what you think about Keenum so far in the quarterback situation.
I haven't seen much of him. I'm not worried about him, so I'm not paying attention to the quarterbacks right now. It's too early in camp, and it's a position that's been solidified. He's the starter, so I'm not worried about that position at all. Tell you the truth, I don't even know what to tell you about that other than things have been running the way they're supposed to run.
Remember how many miscommunication?
But that's what I'm saying.
Trevor and Demarius.
Yeah, all of those things are done. Those moments are done. And I see the excitement of a guy like Emmanuel Sanders at practice, and he's got a smile on his face, man. I mean, the dude is, you know, last year in training camp, you know, fighting and you know, carrying on. Just everything was so tense. This year, just on that guy in particular, I mean, I think he's the most talented receiver that we have. I think that he is by far, the most talented receiver that we have. And if we can get that guy off to a fast start, it's going to end up being good for everybody else because he can do things to defensive backs that very few people can do in the NFL. And he looks great.
Let me be, I guess, a little bit more specific then. Were you caught at least by surprise that VJ said there's basically an open competition for the
backup?
Second or third, yeah.
Was I surprised at that? Yeah, because I think that we kind of beat him up a little bit by saying that there was no competition last year and that, you know, certain guys had not earned the right to even compete. Well, I mean, when we saw what was going on with, you know, Slaughter and not being allowed to compete, I think everybody that was around the media and the fan base didn't understand that. So now he says, quite frequently, there's a competition for every position. Now, they have veterans who have earned the right to be starters, guys like Von Miller, Demarius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders.
Sure.
And then you have this class of guys who haven't been a starter for a year and don't know what it is, and they're still competing. So guys like Garrett Bowles, who started for 1 year, may still be in a quasi-competition if he's not playing at a high level.
Mm.
Guys like Chris Harris is not in a competition. Bradley Roby is not in a competition. But to hear that the backup quarterbacks are in a competition, okay, fine. Really, I mean, okay, I can say this. Lynch is still a step slower than where he needs to be. I can tell you that for a fact.
What do you mean, why?
Because the ball comes out a little later and once again, this is Case Keenum's playbook. This is not his playbook. Okay, everything that he's doing is because Case Keenum likes to do it. Last year, we had, what did we have, 3 different playbooks? Think about that. I need you to just, like, think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You had Trevor Siemian's playbook, okay? You had a playbook that was tailored for Paxton Lynch, and then when Slaughter went in, he had his own playbook. So that's 3 different offensive philosophies in 1 quarterback.
Plus, there were 6 plays to do the same thing.
Now, this year, they're all running Case Keenum's plays. So if you don't understand what Case Keenum knows, you better hurry up and find out.
So what quarterback is more like Case Keenum? Paxton Lynch or Chad Kelly?
Chad Kelly.
Obvious, right? And that's kind of what we have been talking about and I've been advocating for years, actually.
Same body type, same
right.
intellect,
that's
same
right.
same kind of demeanor.
That's why when I said, if Tim Tebow's your starter, draft Russell Wilson. If Peyton Manning's your starter, Brock Osweiler makes more sense, not Russell Wilson. You're right. Case Keenum, Chad Kelly, it all looks the same. It's why their physical size kind of stands out, because Paxton's just so much bigger than either guy. It looks a little bit awkward. It just looks different. But when Chad Kelly goes in there, everything more or less looks the same. So what are we doing with Paxton Lynch?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Backup quarterback to me is not an issue because
20 of 32 teams last year used
their
backup.
I know. If we have
backup quarterback won the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, but we don't have that guy. We don't have a guy that's been a tried and true starter in this league. Like, you know, the thing that's the dumbest thing, and I kind of get it, though. I kind of get it. The dumbest thing that we did was let Trevor Siemian go. And I know you don't like the guy. I mean, it's clear that they don't like him. They didn't like him. It's the only reason that Trevor Siemian isn't around here. They don't like him.
Well,
because the money was great.
It was a bargain. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the money is great, and he had ample experience as a starter.
It'd have been confusing if he
no,
was still
it's
around
not.
Here.
No, it's not.
It would have been confusing if he was
still a backup.
Here.
He's still a backup.
It would have been confusing.
He is exactly what he is in
Ow.
Minnesota, man. He's a backup.
Yeah,
except
yeah, yeah.
he's a backup here in Denver.
But just like we said, when a new coach comes in, he's got to bring his own guys in. It's confusing when
man,
a guy like that's
still around.
He's
a commodity that should have
I'm
stayed
telling you right
here.
Now, it's awkward with Shane Ray right now at this point.
Shane Ray should be the starter.
It's awkward.
Not to me.
You could say it's, well, you're, it's
the more
awkward.
The merrier.
The dynamics of the locker room are interesting, to say the least.
You can never have too many pass rushers.
I think Chad Kelly's a better option than Trevor Siemian for Case Keenum. All that being said, the value of Paxton Lynch is what on the market?
Oh, maybe a fourth round. Maybe a fifth rounder.
Maybe, right?
Maybe a sixth rounder.
Maybe a sixth rounder. You've driven that car off the lot.
Oh, that car has been driven over 40,000 miles in 1 year. That car has been driven 40,000 miles in 1 year on a 3-year, 36,000 lease.
It's just not the same.
You are upside down, sir.
All right, the phone number is 303-713-1043. I'll go to the text line and see if you have any other type of questions out there.
upside down,
no doubt about it. Kelly looked much sharper than Lynch today at practice. Yeah, he's been good. Keenum will be a top 10 QB if the O-line stays healthy. top 10 QB.
I don't know, maybe
O-line's okay. Gotta be,
I'm saying, I said 3,830 touchdowns. But does that make him top 10?
I don't know. I mean, people send out tweets and texts like that. I mean, okay. I mean, you want to do this exercise? You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, now we're at 5. We could keep going if you want. Russell Wilson. Blah, 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 blah. You know,
Matthew Stafford,
right. And then you got the young guys. Carson Wentz. Really? Top 10, huh? Kirk Cousins. We'll see. It'd be great if he was. My big takeaway from camp on Saturday.
Did you say Tom Brady?
I did say Tom Brady. Is that we've got to get Paxton off this team. We can't have him celebrating easy passes in practice with Isaiah McKenzie. I tell you, one of the best plays over the weekend was Paxton Lynch to Isaiah McKenzie.
Big bomb.
It was, well, there was that, but there was also this just little screen over the middle, and Paxton found McKenzie, and boy, did he just accelerate, take off. You know, that is like an easy pass, simple thing, and then an explosive play. So that looked actually pretty good. Could Emmanuel be smiling because he finally learned the rules on double yellow lines.
Wow.
And then a lot of people ripping on Garrett Bowles. If Garrett Bowles is back on practice tomorrow, that's going to be... I mean, how do you get carted off like that and then you're...
Maybe he's a WWE fan.
One, two, oh! 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 You know, when I was a kid, I'd watch that and be like, why is the referee so slow? I mean, it's one,
right,
two,
right.
Three.
Why is he getting distracted by the guy in the corner?
Right.
You know, and then he's forgetting to finish the count.
Right. So it's right there. I mean, but, of course, I was like 9 when I was thinking these thoughts. Booker will not be on this team and traded for a veteran. That's unlikely. You got to see what's going on in the league in terms of running backs. The veteran presence of running backs is not non-existent, but it's limited.
I sure would like to see Jamal Charles back here and see Devontae Booker gone.
Well, that's what that texter is basically saying. But look at the trend in the NFL.
But I'm just
that's not
you know,
what's
like,
happening.
Like, you know, because we know that, you know, he is a sometimey player
but,
for
but
us.
But you know that's you know. Not going to happen, right?
I get it, dog. I get it.
I mean,
just
I know.
You know. I'm just letting you know. It was good to see that guy here last year. I have nothing against Devontae Booker. I just know his style. Like, I've seen that style year in and year out in the NFL, and I know what it produces. It produces, if the guy's a starter all year long, you know, 800 to 900 yards of rushing potential and, you know, this bruising style that doesn't lead to exciting plays that you know, nobody's afraid to play against a guy like Devontae Booker. Nobody.
Jared, you're on the fan. Hi, Jared.
Yes.
Yes.
What's going on, Jared?
Hey, what's happening, man? How y'all doing?
Super.
Awesome. Hey, y'all were talking about trying to debate if we should can Lynch or not. I think it's kind of like the elephant in the room that's been there for a while. Same thing with Booker, man. I know we're giving him the benefit of the doubt here and there, but at the end of the day, it's not producing, and it's a production-related league. So if you can't do it, kick to the curb.
Well, then,
appreciate your time,
I appreciate
y'all.
Jared, but you understand, maybe you don't understand.
That money is guaranteed on his rookie deal.
That's right. So unless he does something like Aaron Brewer would do on the plane, he's going to stay on the team. You've paid for it. You own it. Got to kind of live with it. Got to try to make it work. But the question is, when push comes to shove, and you need that backup to play, who's that going to be? Who can you trust? Who's going to make something happen? I don't know, preseason may be kind of interesting in that department, because there's no debate about Case Keenum, but, you know, in preseason, your starter barely plays anyways. So, I don't know, maybe the preseason's going to be kind of interesting.
It would have been nice. It would have been nice, really nice, to have Kyle Slaughter here right now.
Instead
really.
Of
really. I would say that Kyle Slaughter and Case Keenum, whatever.
Do you think Slaughter,
that was, by the way, that was the combination in Minnesota last year.
Do you think Slaughter will beat out Simeon for the backup job in Minnesota?
Yes.
You sure? Even though Cousins and Simeon share agents?
I'll say this. Simeon is a unique character in our league because he's got 2 years starting experience. And he knows how to run an NFL team.
Is Simeon in Minnesota because Cousins and Simeon have the same agent?
Yes.
I agree. So I think it's unlikely Slaughter beats him out in that situation.
That doesn't mean that, because he's on the roster, doesn't mean that his place on the team is a reserve.
I think they've made some promises to Cousins to make him feel comfortable. And I don't know if Slaughter would make him feel as comfortable as Simeon.
He doesn't know Trevor Simeon like that. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Because they have the same age, and you think they know each other like that?
I think so, yeah.
No, that's not how it works.
I think there's a level of comfort for Cousins.
Don't be surprised if Kyle Slaughter ends up being a starter in this league in a couple of three years.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all.
He was so heady to be a rookie to learn that offense that nobody else could learn, by the way.
Okay, why wouldn't Slaughter beat out Trevor Siemian in Minnesota?
I would say I would say that Trevor Siemian, as far as practice goes, doesn't say much and is on time and on target in practice. It's hard to beat.
But I'm just talking about the backup job. I'm not talking about the starter.
It's hard to beat Trevor Siemian in that situation. But Kyle Slaughter has this thing about him, man. You know, he had this thing about him that was easily recognizable for me. He had this swag about him, you know, this little shoulder roll deal, you know, like, okay,
it was so special in the day three last year.
But if you're asking me who's going to be the backup, if I'm the head coach and my starter goes down, I'm going to play the guy with NFL experience first.
All right. We've got questions about DeMarcus Walker. We can dig into that. Your thoughts about Shelby Harris and other observations from the first couple of days of training camp. Don't forget, tomorrow they go full speed, full pads. Should be interesting. And we've got a new website, a petition for Pat Bowlen. It's putpatin.com. We just started it about an hour or so ago. We've got 882 people that have signed it. So it'd be cool in the next 10 minutes to get that up to 1,000 folks. That'd be kind of cool. If you can get to that, check it in. It's a great online resume. And maybe we can get something viral going that will help put Pat Bowlen into the Hall of Fame. Again, that's putpatin.com. Back next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Feels good. I'm like a kid in the candy store type. I know a lot of guys look at practice and be like, oh man, I got to practice today. For me, it's like, I get to practice today. That's what a year will do when you're at home watching the game. So I'm grateful to be out here.
Sue Cravens. That's cool. Mike Kliss asked Garrett Bowles how he was feeling during the walkthrough. Quote, yeah, I'm good. I mean,
hey man, this is
you
nuts.
You got carted off at a half mile per hour off the field with your head down.
That's saying that's going too fast, half a mile.
Right. I didn't know the vehicle could go as slow as it was going. Yeah, I'm good. 4 hours later. I don't know what to say.
Maybe he doesn't have a high pain threshold.
I don't know.
Maybe that's what it is.
It's weird. It's weird. So, if he's out in full pads and contact tomorrow, I don't even know what to say. If he is,
I may have, you know.
I mean, that is the boy that cried wolf, if that's the case. I mean, if it really isn't a concussion and it's nothing all that serious and you're out of practice the next day, what was that all about today then? Okay, anyways.
DeMarcus Walker.
What do you think?
I think he looks, you know, there's something about guys, defensive linemen, who play at Florida State. And I think it started with, like, Peter Boulware back in the day. When these guys rush the passer, they try to get really low and they try to get into a four-point stance. Whoever their defensive line coach is there, they start their guys off with a bad foundation, because I don't believe that's the way that you're supposed to play defensive line. But that being said, he looked decent today because he was active, and I think I can't remember who he was going against, but somebody tried to toss him to the ground, and I just remember thinking, oh, he's going to the ground, he's going to go down. And he had a kickstand, so he used his left hand, stayed on his feet, and got to the quarterback. Pretty athletic move. When an offensive lineman tries to toss you in a pass rush drill, usually you go down to the ground, period. You're going to tuck and roll, you know what I'm saying? Get back up running. Mm-hmm. But he was able to stay on his feet, and I think it kind of, to me, I was shocked, because I'm like, it takes tremendous balance and flexibility to do it. And those are the things that can make him solid. But I think that he's got some work in front of him, because I do believe that position is going to be Shelby Harris, We know that the big fella, inside is Derek Wolfe. I think Derek Wolfe and DeMarcus Ware and go ahead and call it Bradley Chubb. Those three guys are going to be fighting for reps inside. Outside, you got Shane Ray, you have Von Miller. Inside, man, you got a lot of problems. You got a lot of issues that you're trying to figure out. And they're good things for the Broncos. When I say problems, problems for the other team. You got body types. You got body styles. You got movement that is different. And this looks to be the deepest defensive line since they won the Super Bowl, which is saying a lot. This is a deep, deep, deep linebacker, defensive line. This may be as deep of a group since the Broncos won Super Bowl 50. It's exciting. I can't tell you, just looking at the list, I just wrote down names. I just wrote down numbers. I was like, I said 59 can go. Paradis is like 92 gets it. 96 is off the chain.
Yeah, put some
exactly. So that's how
92 is Zach Kerr, 96 is Shelby Harris. It. What was your other ones?
59 can go.
59 is so that's Stanley Manimigba.
So that's how I start my evaluations, and if they do it again, then I start writing down names.
Well, that's Stanley. He's an outside linebacker, 6'2", 257, 27 years old, 5 years in the league out of TCU.
Okay. That makes sense.
He
gets it.
You didn't.
I put him down as he can. There you go.
He's a vet.
He's a vet. That's why.
Yeah.
See, when you have that kind of – dude, this thing is crazy. When I tell you that this thing is crazy, our defensive line and our linebackers – maybe, you know, pardon me for saying this, because there are a lot of guys that are still around here that have played a lot of good football. And there are some of those defenses around here, and I know a lot of them. But when I tell you that this group, this 9-on-7 group, is good, this may be the best that I've seen around here. So when you put in there Von Miller, Shane Ray, and then you have a talented rookie. We don't know what that's going to look like. But when you put in there Derek Wolfe, you put in there Brandon Marshall. Okay, Todd Davis is only going to be in there in obvious run situation. Put Sua Cravens in there. And I'm telling you, the movement of our big guys up front, it's exciting.
You're saying there's better guys on this team than like Paris Lennon and Robert Ayers?
You remember that.
Well, I remember the Super Bowl, right. So I remember the starters. I was not shocked Robert Ayers was a star in the Super Bowl, but I'll never, ever forget just being like, wow, Paris Lennon is a starter in the Super Bowl. I wonder how this is going to go.
But, you know, the what made our other defensive line, the Super Bowl 50 defense, so great is DeMarcus Walker, Von Millerite, but Malik Jackson inside.
Yeah. There was nobody like him.
You know what I'm saying? Malik Jackson inside. And I think Shelby Harris is profiling like a Malik Jackson.
Well, that'd be wonderful.
And
if
then
that was
you
the
throw
case.
In and then you throw in a DeMarcus Walker, a Bradley Chubb, a Derek Wolfe into that situation, and you start to see the possibilities of combination of pass rushers that could go. And so, you know, even if Bradley Chubb was in at an obvious pass rush situation, we have this package in football that's called spinner. And in a spinner defense, what you do is you take this one guy who is like a joker, right? He goes from left to right, over the guard, over the center. He's moving around to where he feels comfortable. Then he gets to rush over who he wants to. But also, that can also be a secondary guy. He can also be a guy to drop in the obvious passing zones to help in defense. And so it becomes a helper in the coverage. So that's exciting, man. It really is.
Here's Pecco talking about exciting. The D-line.
Yeah, man, our D-line group is stacked, man. Coach was telling us yesterday that we have so much talent in our room. during preseason, man. Everyone just go showcase, because even if you don't land here, man, there's going to be a place for you somewhere on a roster, you know. That's how much depth we have. And with having that much depth, man, it really brings out the competition in our group. And our group is a real tight-knit group. We're a family in there, and we love to compete. We love to get each other better. And I love the additions of Clint, Deshaun, and then also our guys like Gossis, Shelby, you know, Big Wolf. We have a really solid defensive line, and I think that's one of the strengths of our team, and we're ready to carry our team.
And then you could hear Bill Belichick's spy plane.
Over the top.
Circle.
Over the top. But, hey, look, how about that? I didn't even hear those comments from him.
There you go.
And I was like, this group is deep. I mean, this is a great group.
We have some amazing things happen. Not that we're not focused on training camp, clearly. But we got to give the Rockies some shine.
Oh, no doubt,
we'll get
baby.
There next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
The Rockies are just awesome. A sweep of the A's. A good team. A really good team. By the way, I don't know if you caught this, but the A's, who are one of the worst teams in terms of attendance, said they're going to sell season tickets, and it's going to be kind of like a sit wherever you want sort of policy.
Oh, I like that.
Meaning,
I do like that.
I mean,
if you got a ticket, you can go sit wherever you want.
Not quite, but like if you buy a
lower bowl ticket.
Say you buy a $30 season ticket.
That's a lower bowl ticket?
Sure, wherever.
Okay, anywhere in the lower bowl that you want to sit.
Anywhere that's also
that
a $30 ticket.
That is so smart.
Like at different points of the season.
Oh, so a premium team comes in,
so here's,
and your $30
well,
seats are not.
I don't know. So you bought a season ticket, and it's a $30 ticket, just say. But there's a lot of $30 tickets all over the ballpark, so now you can move around. You don't have to watch the game from the same
seat.
Exact seat. Of course, for the A's, I don't think that's much of an issue because there's so many just empty seats. So I always thought in Major League Baseball, if there's less than 20,000 fans at a game, after the fifth inning, just everybody should be allowed to sit wherever they want. You know,
but, I like that too.
Yeah,
you know, I like common sense in
right.
sports and in most things in life.
So the program that the A's are providing provides members general admission access to every game, reserve seating plan, and additional benefits, including half-price concessions, 25% off merchandise, and upgrade credits for games not included in the reserve ticket plan.
That's cool. Get people to the game. Whatever you got to do. Hey, we're putting 40,000 in the seats almost every series now. I mean, it's sick what's going on there at Coors Field. That has become, I mean, weekends like we just had are fun. They win the games. You got the brooms out there. You're winning. your closers are closing. You're getting contribution. Sunday game yesterday, and there's a lot of guys out there you don't normally see, like Tom McMahon at like first base. Is it Tom McMahon? Am I confusing him with Ryan McMahon?
I'm like, Tom McMahon, the shoes?
No, I think Tom McMahon's the special teams coach for the Broncos. Ryan McMahon, sorry. And Pat Flake is playing second, and Cuervos is out there or something. I'm going to say Cuervos, just for fun. And Jose's out there. I don't know. So, and you win. You win.
Hey, how about
you win
this?
The game. Awesome.
Next game is a hot dog coupon giveaway.
Oh, I love the cheap hot dogs. Those things are smashed up.
$1 next Monday.
Fit them in your pocket. You ever have a $1 hot dog?
You know what I mean? Like the Rockies dog?
Oh, they're not the Rockies dog.
No.
The $1 dogs are a lot smaller than the Rockies dog.
No. Listen, I like the Rockies dog. I think that's the only time I ever eat a hot dog anymore.
Those are long hot dogs.
I know.
Yeah.
We call that a buffet of hot dogs.
Oh, by
Louis. The way, in the Washington Nationals, man, there's a little baseball news going on around out there. There may be some movement for Bryce Harper. How do you feel about that?
There's not going to be. They're not going to trade Bryce Harper.
What do you mean? There's a little buzz going on.
Well, hold on. I shouldn't say that. If they think they're out of it.
Six games out.
Are you out of it with six games?
I don't know.
If they think they're out of it and they don't think they can retain Bryce Harper salary-wise and you can get something for him, then fine. I guess.
Bryce Harper to the Yankees?
I don't know. That lineup's
you're
pretty loaded.
You're kidding me, man.
I don't know.
No way.
I thought the rumor was to the Indians. That would make more sense. The Indians are a good team. They may be that just one special player away from something. I mean, hold on.
How about us getting Matt Holliday back?
Oh, I wanted to bring that up. Thanks you for bringing that up. I think that's great. I saw some interviews with him. He's out in Grand Junction, just, you know.
38-year-old Matt Holliday.
Why not? Why not? If you need a – I love that move. Because
I heard
Philly and
Drew talking about it yesterday on the broadcast.
Well, you can expand your rosters in September, and what you would be using him for essentially is a power-hitting pinch hitter off the bench. Well, that's essentially what Jason Giambi was for the Rockies, and it provided some exciting moments, some exciting possibilities. So why not? That is the ultimate softball player type of move, you know, and you get him, you give him a month to get ready. You call him up in September when you expand the rosters, and in those sixth, seventh, eighth inning situations, okay, we got a guy who can, I mean, he might strike out, but if he connects it, he could hit it out.
Right, 314 home runs to his credit.
So you don't want 500 plate appearances for a guy like that, but you'll take 30.
30?
Maybe not even 30, maybe 15.
For the year?
Well, think about it. He'd be called up in September. He'd be used as a pinch hitter in just specific
only
situations.
Only in September, huh?
Like, Giambi would play a season for the Rockies and only get, like, 32 plate appearances.
No, I thought he got more than that. It felt like it.
It was only in very specific type of situations.
No, hey, I think Big he's got more
look
like...
look up how many plate appearances.
I bet he got,
like,
80 or 90. Something like, I mean, Giambi was a
but
bigger
he's
part
only,
of
he only hits, like, one time a game.
Jason Giambi?
Yeah, his last year with the Rockies. How many plate appearances in his last year?
The last year with the Indians.
No, his last year with the Rockies.
With the Rockies, 113 plate appearances.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
He still played two more seasons after that, though. 2013, he had 216 plate appearances for the Indians, and then his final season, he had 70 plate appearances.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So Matt Holliday, maybe we're talking about 50?
Not in a month. If he got called him in September, you wouldn't have that many games.
Right.
Maybe 20.
Really quick, before we go off air, Patrick Saunders, a couple of quick Rockies tidbits. DJ LeMahieu close to returning, perhaps on Thursday, the final game in St. Louis before they head to Milwaukee for the weekend.
Great.
Chad Bettis pitching at AAA on Thursday. A bullpen move is a possibility when he rejoins the Rockies staff. And Trevor Story is fine. He's just taking a break today.
Trevor Story on fire.
Medically okay.
Who's playing short then tonight?
One sec.
Is it Valleca? Probably Valleca.
Is there a game tonight?
Yeah, they're in St. Louis.
Oh,
starts
man.
In 20 minutes.
Yeah. 20 minutes.
Yeah, baby.
All right, man. I'm kind of getting into the baseball.
Put it on.
I sat out and watched a little baseball
put it
yesterday.
On with dinner.
I'm
Come
like,
on,
wow.
Man.
Looks like Garrett Hampson.
Right.
Hampson's
right.
playing shortstop?
And now pitching, man. What's going on with us, man? Have we figured it out?
We have figured it out.
I'm loving it, man. When is our break night this week, Nick Sexy? Is it like... Wednesday or Thursday for the Rockies?
Why do you ask?
Oh, I just want to know because, I mean, if I can just mark it on my calendar, they're going to play baseball. Usually Monday is their day off.
They're playing
throughout the week.
The whole week?
Yeah, it's a four-game series in St. Louis.
Yeah,
there's a day
wow.
game Thursday, then Ooh. They'll head to Milwaukee for the weekend.
They don't have a day off until August 13th.
Ooh.
They play every single day until August 13th.
Mm. Come on, man. Keep it together, man. Keep that only one game back, D-Mac.
I love it.
I love it. All right, man. We're going to get out of here. From my partner, D-Mac, who
yes,
does
sir.
A great job talking to the crew and recruiting people to give you more information. Good job. For Big Sexy, who's always there for the important sound bites. And, of course, Kyle Berry
yes.
for making sure everything is smooth every day. I'm Big yeah. Al. And we'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock on The Drive. Good night, everybody.
This one's for Pat.
That's right. Put Patty in. .com.